Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Have you ever had an experience in your life where something happened that was so amazing, so awesome, that you just had a hard time explaining it? Anyone? Have you ever been frustrated? Some of you, have you ever been frustrated when you come back from something that is totally awesome and all you can say is, it's awesome? No? There's times in our lives where we experience things, and no matter how hard we try, no matter how many adjectives we put in front of it or behind it, no matter how hard we try, we are not able to express what we've experienced. And if you were to look at St. John and to hear what he is saying here at the beginning of his revelation, talking about how blessed he was to have this experience, summarizing what he has just seen, it doesn't appear that way if you read it literally, because it's right at the beginning of the letter. But if you understand, he has gone through the vision, and now he's sitting down to write what he was told to write. And so he starts out with this amazing introduction, and he tries to use language that expresses how mind-blowing this whole experience was for him. And it's hard, because no matter how hard he tries to explain God, as we see in the Old Testament in Isaiah, right, where he says his ways are so much higher than our ways and his thoughts so much more amazing than our thoughts, right? The language there is kind of interesting in Hebrew, because it's hard, again, to translate. But what he's trying to say is we can never fully understand. It's similar to what St. Paul says when he asks the question, can we understand how high and how wide and how deep is the love of God in Christ Jesus? It's amazing when we try to put into human terms what we experience when we are enveloped. And I use that word because this would happen on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? A cloud enveloped them. That's a, you know, totally surrounded them, embraced them, held them. And when we have that experience of being on that mountain with God, we have that experience of God totally surrounding us, totally embracing us and pulling us close, holding us close to his heart, giving us even just a glimpse of his love for us. It's hard to put it into words. And that's why you hear these amazing words that St. John uses as he tries to introduce this revelation to the people, as he writes to the seven churches. And again, seven being the number of completeness, he was writing it to all the churches. But he writes it geographically to the seven churches that are by the island of Patmos where he is. And he says, he begins, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. He's going to use this terminology throughout this revelation. But do you understand what he's doing here? What is he saying about Jesus Christ and about our God, who was and who is and who is to come? What does that mean? Eternal. It means the thing that drives us, the currency of our time, the currency of time, I should say, even though it's of our time. The currency of time, he says, doesn't matter to God. Our God, just as it says in the Old Testament, is eternal. He was there before the beginning, and he's going to be there after the end. And yet, again, trying to put this in human terms is difficult. So he says, who was, and who is, and who is to come. I just think that John's probably asking himself at this point, is there another way I can express this? I bet you he's saying, is there another way I could put this? And then he says, and from the seven spirits before his throne, which again is the churches that he's writing to, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Again, trying to give titles to our Savior and our Lord. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. But look at the titles he uses here. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. What was important about the witness was you couldn't get charged unless you had three witnesses. And you needed a faithful witness meant that the witness was an eyewitness. That he had been there. He had seen everything. It means that when he says who was, who is, and who is to come, that means that he was there before the beginning, at the beginning, and will be there at the end, and will be there after the end. Make sense? I feel almost sorry for John. Because he's asked to write this down, and yet there is so few words that can express the truth of eternity. Have you ever tried to explain God to people? You can use the terms that we use in the creeds. You know, we have three ecumenical creeds, and we hardly ever use the Athanasian Creed or even the Nicene Creed because they're kind of long. We use the Apostles' Creed today for baptism because that's what it was originally written for. And even there, we're trying to express something that's like trying to put the ocean into a glass. I don't know if you tried that. It doesn't work very well. That's how silly it is to try to explain an eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, the church has used all these terms over the years, try to explain God. And here John's supposed to try to explain it in a few words. It's difficult. The firstborn from the dead. Well, he rose again from the dead. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Isn't this so important? Why is he the one who was and who is and who is to come? Why is he the firstborn of the dead? Why is he what John is calling him? The faithful witness and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Because he loves us enough to be born into that manger in Bethlehem, to live on this planet, to live for 33 years without sin, being tempted in every way like us, and being that once and for all sacrifice for our sins, past, present, and future, right? That's love, folks. He loves us and he freed us, he redeemed us by his blood. What I feel so, again, he's trying to explain the whole revelation in this introduction. He's trying to explain everything. The reason for the whole revelation is to remind people this is who brings us to God. This is how we get to God. It's through Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, the faithful witness, the one who was and who is and who is to come. And then he goes on to say this, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. I mean, just think about that. Today we heard from Luke 15 about all of heaven rejoicing when one person repents. And when the parents of Caleb and of Paul acknowledged that they were born sinful, even though they look innocent, when they acknowledged that they were born sinful and were in need of redemption, just like all of us, right? King David said he was sinful even before his birth. I mean, it's hard for us to understand on this side of heaven, right? But that's the reality. When they said, our child needs to be forgiven, he needs to have salvation, he needs to be marked with the cross of Christ forever, he needs that adoption as a child. Now, if they didn't have baptism, that's between them and God as far as the judgment is concerned. But we have a wonderful promise today, and all of heaven is rejoicing today, double because of two. Because we are sure of the promise that has been given to us, that all of heaven is rejoicing because Caleb and Paul have been brought into the kingdom. They've been marked with the cross of Christ, and all of heaven is rejoicing because they have a place in eternity. Their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they have a place in eternity. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you just love to be up there in the celebration? I mean, they're having a wonderful time. And it says that he has made us a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. I just think that sometimes we forget what it means. And Jesus kind of addressed this when he said, my kingdom is from another place. When Pilate asked him in the gospel lesson, remember? He said, my kingdom is from another place. That we forget that the kingdom is here. We always think of the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again in the resurrection and ascended to the right hand of God, he told us the kingdom is here. We're part of it. We have the kingdom authority. We have the kingdom power. When we're marked with the cross of Christ in our baptism, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can live as children of the kingdom. And then he says we even have more of a responsibility. He says, not only are we citizens of the kingdom, but we are priests to serve our God. Now, have you ever thought of yourselves as priests? Kind of hard in our society, right? Because we look at things differently than... And the word priest doesn't really resonate with us in society, but isn't that a wonderful privilege? Isn't that a wonderful privilege? Because what is it saying? Talked about this when we were going through the book of Hebrews, right? What did the priest do? The priest was the only one who got to walk into the Holy of Holies and stand before the mercy seat and sprinkle the blood over the mercy seat for the atonement of the people. He was the only one that got to truly experience the one who was and who is and who is to come. The one of who Isaiah writes when he got called into the ministry, when they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To be in the presence of God was something that in those days was feared. Because if you actually saw God, you would die. Remember that even Moses couldn't see God face to face, right? He had to actually be in a crevice, and God had to pass by, and all he could see was his back. And even that experience, he was all white. Remember, his face glowed, and he scared everybody? You see, to be in the presence of God, to be a priest before our God, was an awesome, wonderful, amazing gift. And that's what's been given to Paul and to Caleb today. They've been called priests before our God. They're ushered into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're ushered into the presence of Almighty God Himself, the Creator of the universe, and they're welcomed. Not only are they welcomed, but in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal father or son, depending on how you look at it, where the father goes running out to greet the son, remember? And puts the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and puts a robe around him and says, kill a fattened calf for my son who was dead is alive again and we're going to celebrate. That's the God who has chosen Paul and Caleb today. That is the God who has marked them as redeemed and as priests to serve our God, members of the kingdom. And then he uses these words, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then he does something that's kind of interesting. He uses these words, which summarize for us judgment. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I don't know if you know this, but so shall it be and amen are the same thing. The double. What I say about something, if it happens more than once, pay attention. Amen, amen. So shall it be. And I think that's a wonderful picture for us. If you want to see where it happens in the Old Testament, look up Daniel chapter 7, and you'll see this, where the Son of Man comes in His glory and before the Almighty and with His angels, and He comes to judge the world. That's what's happening here. The judgment. He sees a scene of the judgment, the final judgment, and He says, we have nothing to worry about. Those of us who have been brought into the kingdom through simple water and the word, who have been marked with the cross of Christ forever, we have nothing to worry about. When Jesus comes in his authority, we will kneel willingly. Not like those who will kneel unwillingly. As St. Paul said, every knee should bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He doesn't give the option for those who don't want to. And then he goes on, and this is what I want to close with as I began. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. We don't use the Greek alphabet that much, do we? I mean, you say, oh yeah, I write all my notes in Greek. Then we wouldn't have a saying in our society, it's all Greek to me. Right? We don't use the Greek alphabet, even though ours is similar. But in the Greek alphabet, it starts with alpha and it ends with omega. And so if you're trying to explain again something that is beyond our worldly comprehension, you would use a term that would make sense to the people to whom you're writing. You're writing to in Koine Greek, you're writing in the Greek alphabet, and so you say it is A to Z, or Alpha to Omega. It's the whole thing. Beginning to end, it's the whole thing. And I don't know about you, but when I come to worship on Sundays, oftentimes I find myself kind of distracted. You know, today was driving on kind of icy roads for a little bit. And it's really easy to get distracted when we come in here. And yet, if John were here today, he'd be saying, don't miss the opportunity, folks. Because the promise is wherever two or more of my people are gathered in my name, it says that in Matthew 18, I am there in the midst of them. And through God's mighty word and in his sacrament, he's inviting us. He's welcoming us into his very presence. He's saying, I want to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. I want to show you signs and wonders. I want you to be my kingdom people, having the authority and power that I give to you, that you are priests before our God and Father through Jesus Christ. He wants you to experience everything that he has for you and even more. Isn't that awesome? He says, I am, and what's important about this last sentence here is it's not John explaining who Jesus is, as he's been doing, but it's Jesus himself. And it's Jesus himself trying to explain, like he is today, through his word to us, so that we can have our minds opened and our hearts open, so that we can receive all that God wants for us, that we can know his love, and we can know we belong, and we can believe and trust in him as our Savior, and we become more like him through the power of his Holy Spirit. He says to him, to John, his words, not John's word describing him, but Jesus' words about himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was, or the one who, sorry, I got to get this right, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus' words about himself. Again, he says there's nothing that, he's the beginning, well, if we're really going to describe it, he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's the worldly sense, because he covers from the beginning to the end. But then he goes on to say, who was and who is to come. That's the eternity. The Almighty, the one with all the power, the one who's sitting at the right hand of God, the one who will judge the people, and the one who pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. How can we not be enthusiastic? Entheos means in God. How can we not be enthusiastic when we gather in the presence of Almighty God and know who we are in Christ and know, like Caleb and Paul, we know that we belong to him, that we've been adopted as his children, we've been marked with the cross of Christ forever, and we're in the very presence of God by his permission and by his calling and by his invitation, and he invites us to come and to experience all of the love and the grace and the mercy and the gifts that he wants to pour out upon us. How can we not be enthusiastic? How can we not be like St. John trying to express to people, wow, you know, church was more than awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I mean, that should be our experience, shouldn't it? So you're saying, shut up so I can get on with it. No, right? That should be our experience. That should be our experience, because that's the invitation, folks. To set aside all those things of this world that would distract us. To fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and invites us into the Holy of Holies. Please stand. Can you take your hands and put them with the palms down? Every time I think about Jesus' words to Peter, when he said, just after he told him, he was blessed and he was going to build his church upon his confession. Just after that, when Peter tries to explain things from a worldly perspective, what does he say? Get behind me, Satan. I always see that, like Jesus going, get behind me, Satan. And what I'd like us to do is, with our palms down, I would like us to let go of all those things that burden us, all those sins, all those things that make us blush, all those things that we know we should have done and didn't do, all those things we go, ah, man, we know we should have done it, but we didn't. All those things that Satan likes to get a little hook into our heart and say, you can't be truly loved by our God. Look at all your faults. Look at all your mistakes. All those things that would keep us from experiencing what the Lord wants us to experience today. All those things that the frustrations in life, those things that burden us, our finances or whatever it might be that are burdening us. All those things that we would just take our hands right now, close our eyes, and in the silence before the throne of God, that we would just let go of all those things. Just say, be gone. Get behind me, Satan. Get rid of all those things that burden our hearts and our minds, all those things that would keep us from experiencing what John experienced on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day when he was brought before the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On this Christ the King Sunday, let us let go of all those things that have burdened us for this whole year. Because it's the end of the year, and we have a chance to just let go of all those things. Say, get behind me, Satan. Let go of all those things right now. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you call us each and every day to not be deceived into thinking that we have no sin, but to confess our sins, as you say in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. You say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, we want to let go of all those things. We want to let go of all those things that would distract us, all those things that we carry that are heavy on us, on our hearts and our minds. Lord, just let us place them at the foot of your cross. Let us nail them to the cross, Lord. Let us get rid of them. Thank you, Jesus. Let your word be that word that you talk about in Hebrews that separates soul and spirit, bone and marrow. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you would go into every corner of our heart, every corner of our mind, and bring light to all the things that we should let go of today. At the end of this church year, let us let go of all those things that Satan likes to bring up. Thank you, Lord. And now I'd ask you to turn your palms up. This is a posture of receiving. And brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. Jesus himself said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the one who welcomes us into the kingdom and offers us the privilege of being his priests. And I have great news for you. He desperately wants you to receive the forgiveness won for you upon the cross of Calvary. He has freed us with his blood. He's freed us with his blood. He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit and be filled to overflowing with his gift of grace, of mercy, and his power. Let's receive that gift today. Let's receive the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gift of his grace and mercy, the redemption won for us by his blood, and the gift of his Holy Spirit that fills us to overflowing, gives us the power to live as his children, gives us our identity in the covenant, that we belong to him. We trust and believe in him, and we want to become more like him each and every day. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill our hearts and minds, we pray, with your forgiveness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and fill us with your power. As a called and ordained servant of the word, it is my privilege this day to declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.